And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
And it's good morning to you. Hello, you're very welcome along to another week of the 9 till noon show. It's 4 minutes past nine and it is the 15th of July, 2024. How are you all keeping? I hope you're very well indeed. Did you have a good weekend? Hopefully you were able to get out and enjoy the sunshine, get out into the garden, down to the beach, out for a walk, whatever it might be. And also, my word, if you were working in hospitality at the weekend, you would have put in some shift. A lot of people around, isn't there? But it's good to see. It's good for the economy, I suppose. Of course, yesterday, dominated by sport for many of us, not all, of course. Donegal, unfortunately, didn't make it past Galway. But what a year we've had. And if you want to talk about the year we've had versus what our expectations might have been, or talk about the game more generally, feel free to get in touch with us. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text, or give us a call on 07491 25000. As I say, you know, I think we got further and had a much better year than anyone would have anticipated prior to Jim McGuinness being appointed. But just Galway, I just don't think we were going to beat them yesterday one way or other. There's something about it, you know, it seems to be their year. There'll be things that we can be disappointed about, of course, in terms of, you know, certain elements of the game and how it went. But overall, what a fantastic year to be enjoying football deep into July as the season is laid out now. And then, of course, a little later on, the final of the European Championships, of course, England versus Spain. All you could hear on the Vox Pops and online was it's coming home. Well, it's not. It's going on holidays. It's going to Española for the next couple of years. Spain, fantastic. The tournament's best team, deserve to win that as well. And it's just hard to get in behind England, just the way they talk about it. I remember there was a game about, I don't know which, it was about three or four games ago, and I was watching the English commentary because I find that more enjoyable because of their heartache and the euphoria, and they just can't balance their emotions at all. But the last two or three minutes, it's when they scored a late equaliser. It was just a complete autopsy and obituary of Gareth Southgate. And then next thing you know, they score and he's a hero again, and now they'll have a go at him again, don't you know? But anyway, that was it. So Donegal out, England out, and mixed emotions on both of those for most of us, I think. But let's start with a look at the newspapers. We'll go to the back page of the Donegal News, because Donegal's hopes of reaching a first All-Ireland final in 10 years were ended by Galway on Sunday evening in Croke Park. A fortunate shot dropping short from Paul Conroy evaded Sean Patton and found the net, but Jim McGuinness's men kicked some super scores from Michael Langan, Kieran Thompson and Oisin Gallen to go in at the break, drawing 10 points to 1-7. And while the game was still level with 5 minutes to go, Donegal kicked just one score in the final 20 minutes as their shooting let them down in the second half, as the Tribesmen set up a decider with Armagh following a 114 to 15 points. And I think really perhaps Jim McGuinness on reflection might think there were certain options that we could have taken, but Galway are more seasoned. They are slightly ahead of us, I suppose, in terms of team development, and just something feels like it's going to be their year this year. So far more to be happy about than to be disappointed about. On to the Derry News, and the solicitors of two teens arrested by the PSNI at Guildhall Square on Wednesday, the 11th of July, following an alleged assault of a man, have raised concerns about the misleading manner in which the incident has been reported. Madden and Finucane represent both young persons who were arrested, 13 and 14. Kieran Shields from Madden and Finucane solicitors attended Waterside PSNI station along with the parents of the boys on Thursday night, and both boys were eventually released after 1 a.m. on Thursday the 12th of July on police bail. Now, the big story nationally and internationally, it would seem, is the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. It's a once in a generation type of event, thankfully, in that a president or a president, someone seeking the presidential office, is targeted by an assassin. I think you have to go back to the early 80s, do you? Is it Reagan was the last either president or presidential candidate that there was an attempted assassination? And very sadly, one person lost their life in this instant. Unbelievable, miraculous for Donald Trump that he just turned his head in a moment, tilted his head, and the bullet whizzed through his ear effectively and past him. And there's some remarkable pictures. And there is one picture in particular that you've all seen, I'm sure, or you've had described to you if you have vision problems. And that is he, as he's bundled off the stage, with his fist in the air, blood on his face, blood pouring down his ear, Secret Service around him. It's just going to be an iconic picture. It's a picture that you see in real time that will be viewed for many, many generations to come. But what impact does it have on the presidential election? Of course, I think it's a shoo-in now. I think people need to start preparing, and many will be pleased for 4 years of Donald Trump. Joe Biden, his faux pas and what have you seem to become irrelevant now at this stage, because it paints Donald Trump as a martyr, as a hero, especially given his reaction to this incident. But the 20-year-old nursing home employee from suburban Pittsburgh who tried to assassinate Donald Trump was a registered Republican who packed explosives in the vehicle he drove to the campaign rally an hour from his home where bomb material was also found. Law enforcement officials were working last night to learn more about Thomas Matthew Crooks of Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, to determine what motivated him to open fire on the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, from a nearby rooftop, killing one spectator before he was shot dead by the Secret Service. But the Secret Service have a great deal to answer for, you'd have to imagine. It seems almost impossible that this was allowed to happen. There were Secret Service snipers in position, presumably scanning the horizon or what have you. He was sitting on a roof just like 150 yards away, lying on his belly with a gun. Spectators had seen him there. There was an awareness of him being there, but he was allowed to get the shots off before he was shot himself. I think if you looked at the geography of it, it's really quite remarkable that those charged with protecting Donald Trump didn't see him and weren't able to intercept him before he was able to fire the shots. But the FBI said it had not yet identified any threatening writing or social media posts from Crooks, who graduated from high school 2 years ago, and there's no past criminal cases against him, according to public court records. The shooting was being investigated as an attempted assassination and an act of domestic terrorism, the FBI said. Really quite remarkable. I was heading up to bed when that story broke and found myself then watching the coverage and not getting the night's sleep I perhaps should have. On to the Irish Times now, and the government has appointed forensic accountants amid concerns about significant fraud by some accommodation providers housing refugees and asylum seekers. The Irish Times has learned that Minister for Integration, Roderick O'Gorman, told a key cabinet subcommittee last week that his department is concerned about instances of significant fraud, including cases where hotels are believed to have claimed payments for people who have moved out of their accommodation. The state has been winding up contracts with a range of accommodation providers this year on foot of a decline in the number of Ukrainians seeking protection here, as well as many leaving hotels and guest houses. It's understood that approximately 75 contracts have already been terminated for compliance reasons. Compliance issues identified included, but are not limited to, the health, safety and well-being of those in accommodation, overcharging by providers for accommodation and unregulated secondary properties. But the reality is those who were able to get into this business have already their money made and have done very well. Of course, it was one of those situations that were not going to last forever. So I think business people would say, right, we've our money made, let's move on. And all of those agents that offered their house for $800 a month, never even getting callbacks in many stages. And I say agents because I can, because of people I know who went through that process and couldn't understand why their offer wasn't being taken up. Well, there was money to be made elsewhere. This is one that might have some impact on some of you listening today. It's in the Irish Daily Mail. A steep cut in the amount of cash Irish people can get back after cataract surgery in the north shows a blatant disregard for the elderly of the nation has been described as outrageous. Cataract surgery is offered to people who travel to the north under cross-border health arrangements, and it will continue to be offered. However, under a new pricing structure introduced on July 1st, some patients will no longer receive the standard $1,928 reimbursement, but will be given less than half of that amount, 863. Speaking to The Dáil this week, independent TD Michael Collins described the move as outrageous and said it appears that the coalition were happy to have people lose their sight, while independent TD Carol Nolan said the move was frankly incomprehensible. Lots of people in organised buses from down the country as well, but I'm sure from this region, have been able to go to the north to get the cataract surgery, which is, you know, obviously very important for quality of life and vision. And we're able to do so, getting close on 2,000 of a reimbursement. That's going to be halved. So that means this demographic, who are often perhaps surviving on just a state pension alone, may no longer get this treatment. And I don't know who came up with this decision, but it doesn't seem very fair, does it? Well, Deputy Collins said the move shows a blatant disregard for the elderly and is an abuse of power. He said, this is not just an abuse of power, it's a blatant disregard for our elderly citizens who depend on these funds for essential cataract surgery. The government's decision is nothing short of outrageous. And coming up to the budget, look, whoever should get more money should get more money to make life a little bit more bearable for them. But for many people who are on middling wages, you know, the extra fiver a week, I'm sure most people would sacrifice that so older people can get their cataracts done in a timely fashion and without big money coming out of their accounts or loans being taken out and what have you. Or maybe I'm an outlier in that view, but that's what I prefer to see. The Irish Daily Star of Fine Gael TD has said he was taken aback after a priest refused to give him Holy Communion at a funeral mass. Junior Health Minister Colin Burke said that the priest involved then said he'd been excommunicated from the Catholic Church. The Cork North Central deputy voted in favour of repealing the Eighth Amendment, a process which led to the legislation of abortion in Ireland. It has been reported that this is the reason why Father Gabriel Burke of the Blarney Parish refused him communion at a funeral mass last Friday. The incident took place at White Church in the Blarney Parish on Friday, where Mr. Burke was attending the funeral mass of a long-standing Fine Gael member and parishioner. What do you think about that? Do you think that's the right? Was the priest right in what he was doing? He effectively said he was excommunicated because he voted, the TD voted for legislation which effectively introduced abortion into Ireland, and the priest refused him communion. What do you think? 086 60 25000 or call us on 074 91 25000. Interesting times for Sinn Féin. As you would know, there's been a consistent fall off in support for them in consecutive polls. You can ignore one poll or two poll, and I'm a bit nervous about polls anyway, but when there's a consistency to them, even the party themselves can't ignore them. So there was something of, it felt like a bit of a reset from Sinn Féin at the weekend. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald has revealed senior party figures were disappointed at her engagement with the party base. She made the admission following a meeting of the Ard Cúrla, which discussed the recent electoral performance. Ms. McDonald was asked what the party's review into its disappointing results found about her leadership. She replied, "They've told me that they want me to be more firm. They've told me they want me to be more absolute, my absolute and authentic self. They've told me they expect me to bring clarity in terms of our policy offerings, and they've told me they expect better engagement with grassroots." And some even within the kind of various leadership levels of the party have said they also want more access to me. They want me to be more available. And I have made the commitments to make all of that happened. Miss McDonald said she enjoys full confidence and support of the party, North and South. She added she would lead the party into the next general election. And I think there was some internal analysis, really, as it relates to where do they stand on certain issues? What are the views on migration? Why did they go yes, yes in the referenda? Lots of different stuff that people kind of couldn't make out where Sinn Féin stood on things, and I think that's certainly damaged them. It has to be said, are they left, are they right, are they centre? You know, that kind of stuff that matters to some people. And finally, Rory Gallagher's very famous guitar, it is going to auction. His brother insisted nothing can stop the guitar owned by the legendary musician going under the hammer. The famed 1961 Fender Stratocaster, played by the late superstar throughout his career, will go up for auction at Bonhams in London, October, for an estimated mil. Liveline engaged with callers adamant that the car should be brought home to Ireland. It is, and perhaps this is why Liveline's slipping in the listenership figures, it is the kind of issue they give 2 or 3 days to. And then, of course, if it were to be secured, where would it be? Cork or Donegal? And on it goes. OK, we'll be back with more shortly. Shocking volley of shots at Trump rally. A devastating reminder that words can carry weight is one headline. The bullet which grazed the head of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump will continue to travel through the discourse of a fragmented American election season as the country grapples with the consequences of the latest horrifying assassination attempt on a political figure. Right, we have Sharon, who's an American citizen now based in Donegal. Sharon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. Your reaction to it, as I said sort of a little earlier on running through the papers, this is the kind of thing happens once a generation or once every couple of generations. Shocking altogether.
Oh, it was absolutely shocking. I happened to be on a Zoom call with mates in the States on Saturday night when one of them said, hang on a second, they're saying shots been fired. And so that's how I found out what was going on. And they shared the screen and it was just pandemonium and very, very much a surprise, yet at the same time, my fears that this current election would be linked to violence, and certainly when the results come in from the election, delve down into violence, would unfortunately not be a surprise in that case. But it was a great surprise to hear, you know, an assassination attempt. Something like that hasn't been attempted in over 40 years when Ronald Reagan was shot. And he's a very lucky man, Teflon Don, nothing sticks. I mean, it grazed his ear, could very well half an inch and it could have been in his head. But it's very unfortunate for the Democrats because now the Republicans have this image of him defiant with a fist up. And I think his campaign is going to run with that. He's going to end up, you know, smelling like roses coming out of this horrible event.
Yeah, but just before really we talk about the consequences of it a little bit more, I mean, serious questions will have to be asked from the Secret Service here. This was not some international plot involving, you know, a team of specialist would-be assassins. This was one person with a gun that was able to get within 150 yards of him by simply shimmying, bear crawling across a roof, setting up his gun, taking aim and shooting. Whilst audience members were able to see what was going on, there were even people behind Donald Trump that appeared to know something was about to happen, you know, whatever they saw or what have you. I mean, it is crazy that this was able to get to get as far as it actually did.
No, it's definitely a failure on the part of Secret Service, although they did respond quickly once it started. You know, it was seconds later that the gunman was shot himself. But yeah, no, I'd seen as well the video footage of people who were present on the scene, and one lad in particular saying that they were shouting and pointing towards the roof because they saw the guy shimmy up to the building with the gun and with the rifle and were trying to alert law enforcement in the area, which it was, you know, there was a huge law enforcement presence, you know, in addition to the Secret Service, FBI, and as well as local law enforcement were there. And they did respond quickly, but yeah, that should have been, you know, they normally, Secret Service, check out the entire perimeter of where these events occur. And he wasn't already up on the building roof. He did it during the speech. So maybe that's how he was able to blend in, just look like one of the other Trumpers. You know, I don't know if he was dressed in camo gear. I know he was made fun of for wearing camo gear in high school. By all reports, loner, no friends, picked on, bullied very badly in high school, and no social media presence, which is odd for somebody his age.
Yeah, indeed. Now, obviously, the talk up until now has all been about Joe Biden, his performance in the debate and his faux pas since, and indeed last night, even in trying to, you know, appear resolute and strong, he referenced, instead of saying that, you know, things should be decided at the ballot box. He says at the battle box, you know. So even in a scripted sort of address in that regard, he still managed to mess it up to some extent. Go on.
Maybe, you know, paging Dr. Freud, your slip is showing. You know, it is a battleground, and maybe on foot of that, on foot of what just happened, you know, that's where, you know, your mind goes. And Battle Box would be a good name for it these days, let me tell you. It's a very polarized, it's a very sharply divided country. According to the polling, it's, you know, it's basically split down the middle. And do I wish a more vigorous Joe Biden was a candidate? Sure. And full disclosure, registered Democrat, I'm going to be voting for whoever the Democratic nominee is going to be, because I think that literally American democracy hangs in the balance. We know from this document, Project 2025, that he is planning, should he return to office, former President Trump, he is planning huge, horrific changes from day one. And it's rather extreme. The chat in America was starting to coalesce around this Project 2025, even referenced on late night talk shows. And now all anyone's talking about is the assassination attempt.
What do you think this means now for the candidacy of the incumbent? Do you think that this this throws more attention off him, or in terms of Joe Biden I'm talking about here? Or
I mean, like in the short 24 to 72 hour news cycle, it's pulls focus away from Biden momentarily. But other than that, this doesn't benefit the Dems in any way, shape, or form. Republicans have this very neat image now. There's multiple photos of a defiant Trump raising his fist in the air. And I think that the Republicans are going to run with that. And it's going to be nothing. It's going to be in total a benefit to them in the long run.
Yeah, because it makes him look strong. It makes him look like a martyr. I mean, you know, his reaction immediately. The fact now that he can sort of, you know, attend the convention. You know, everything plays into the style of him. In any case, like, so, it really does play well for them. He talked of ripping up the speech he had for Thursday night. And he wants to talk more about sort of bringing America together. That's kind of interesting. I wonder how that might play to his base.
I don't know how well that is going to play to his base. They don't seem to be willing to reach across the aisle, and it's surprising. I hadn't heard that yet.
Yeah, no, he said he wants to talk about bringing the country together. Exactly, yeah.
Well, that's a complete 180 on his rhetoric thus far and for years. So maybe this put the fear of God in him. I don't know. As I said, he's a very lucky man, Teflon Don. Nothing sticks, even an assassination attempt. But it's stunning to think that such an incident would occur. Yet, as I said, one of America's sorry about that, Greg. That's an alarm going off on my phone.
we know what time you get up at now, Sharon.
No.
I'm joking.
Oh, gosh. I've already been looking at my work email.
I'm messing with you, Sharon. I'm messing.
Okay. But it's really, this in no way, shape, or form benefits the Democrats.
No.
And I must say, when the news first broke, and before we got more details of it and discussing it with my friends as we were watching it play out live, as it were, we're like, okay, is this a stunt? We wouldn't put anything past his campaign, but it doesn't appear to be so far, but there seems to be an awful lot of mystery around the shooter, and he was shot dead, so he's not around to ask any questions. It leaves a lot more questions unanswered than answered, and we'll see Thursday what will result in Trump's speech, whether it will be conciliatory towards bringing the country together, or well, it will, or whether or not it'll be something, you know, fire and fear. And I hate to say it too, you reap what you sow. This man incited violent insurrection because he didn't accept the results.
Yeah,
of
but in
the
I know, but also if we want to go down that route, you know, Joe Biden did talk of we need to put Donald Trump in the bullseye now. Do you know what I mean? So I think if we're sort of going to go down the route of rhetoric and what the consequences of language and actions might be. Do you know what I mean? Joe Biden is not not squeaky clean in that regard.
There is. If you were to tot up all references and incitement to violence, that's not comparable. As you know, Joe maybe using that line once, you're going to see Trump using that and worse more than 20 times.
It's been, I don't know about get you, but at the same time, every side has to be conscious of triggering actions.
Yeah.
Sharon, thank you so much for your time. Take care of yourself. It's lovely to speak to you. Former Garda Sergeant Christy Galligan's with us as well. Good morning to you, Christy. Quite a remarkable
turn of
events in the United States.
It is certainly, but it's not unexpected, I don't think. I think there was going to be an attempt at somewhere along the line. Little did we think it would be from within his own Republican, somebody who supported the Republican base. Unfortunately, in America, as we've seen and we've heard so many times, you know, with shootings and one thing and another, you know, the average numbers every year around 34,000 people shot or in some shape or form by guns. And the AR-15 seems to be a gun that's used prevalently around America. But sadly, in this case, you know, there was a lot of rhetoric and there's a lot of polarization in relation to the American democracy at the present moment between two people, two elderly gentlemen who should know better, maybe, in lots of ways. But there is the issue of security now. I mean, they're really going to wrap up security for both Mr. Trump and President Biden, because there is a possibility you're going to get tit for tat, you know, in relation to this attempt on Donald Trump. And that's the biggest concern for a lot of people in America. Will this ramp up further civil unrest? Will there be more shootings, you know, at rallies or whatever? Will there be further disruption? And that's a big concern for the security services. You know, really, that they'll be on tender hooks at the present moment until this election is over, maybe even after. You know, nothing is certain in America at the present moment.
No, also, too, serious questions will be asked as to how this was allowed to happen.
Yeah, and what surprises me, because as you've seen and I've seen, people who were witness to the fact that this young lad was able to crawl up with his gun up on top of a roof directly opposite nearly where Trump was speaking on stage, and opposite to that, maybe over 100 metres away, were other FBI snipers, you know, and I'm surprised that they hadn't identified. But seemingly, it was brought to their attention, or the police down below, it was brought to their attention, this guy was crawling up onto a roof, and no action was taken. And that is very, very surprising. You know, and I mean, we all know when presidents from America come to this country and security is ramped up, that everything, every blade of grass is turned over virtually, you know, to ensure safety and security. Not that it's going to happen in this country, but you can never be sure. But the problem for them is that in a place like America, where guns are to a penny at the present moment in time, that, you know, how do you secure perimeters, and especially in open fields like where we had in this area, Butler's Farm, the showgrounds there, where you know, how do you cover everything? I'm surprised they hadn't drones up above, when they weren't going to have a helicopter up above because it would drown out any noise that Donald Trump was going to make.
But I get where you're coming from. But even so, like, that would be if this person, and we've all watched the films, you know, was 500 metres away in a window of a high-rise building. This was a fella who just crawled along a low-pitched roof, you know, with a direct line of sight. There is some talk that maybe trees obscured his view or something along those lines. But the fact that there were also special service snipers who presumably would have been scanning, that they didn't spot a person lying on a roof.
That's the surprising part because...
You know, I get where you're coming from, better surveillance, yeah, drones and all that type of stuff, but it seems even the basic stuff was overlooked.
Yeah, well, I mean, the most important thing anyway for any police service or any intelligence service is your information, what information you get on the ground from the very start. And people were obviously very concerned about this guy crawling up onto the roof, but no action was taken. Then you had the snipers who were opposite where this young fellow was, and they would have been scanning this area. And I'm telling you, when the Secret Service scan areas, they definitely scan areas, but they overlooked it or no one took any action to see why was this guy on a roof in the first place. And if he was seen going up with a rifle, what the hell was he doing there in the first place? And these are questions that have to be asked by his close protection unit and the Secret Service. I mean, I'm sure some heads will roll after this, but will it tone down the rhetoric between Biden and Trump? That's the question where everybody's asking, will things change and will Donald Trump be less, you know, volatile and more democratic in his approach to this election? Well, that's anybody's guess, but again, questions will be asked about the security surrounding Trump at this stage.
But even now at this point, and I mean, this is where we need our leaders to show leadership, but even now,
yeah,
you have people blaming Biden for it. The Biden talked about we need to get him in the bullseye.
Yes.
You've got Trump people saying that, well, you know, you reap what you sow. If you know what,
yeah,
I mean. And then others saying it was all staged, it's just too perfect the way he held his fist up and zooming,
yeah,
in on some woman in the background with sunglasses saying the fix was in. The world is a very, very strange place now, and sort of your,
yeah,
commentary maybe if applied 20 years ago, but unless the actual leaders themselves start showing leadership,
yeah,
in this regard, especially with social media, just the world's gone nuts.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Social media and the conspiracy theorists will be out now and they'll be blaming everything from the aliens or from someone coming from Mars or something, you know. I mean, that's America for you, you know. It's just what comes out is outlandish sometimes. But some of even the vice presidential frontrunners are pointing the finger at Biden as well for, you know, that he was central to the premise of that. That Trump was an authoritarian fascist, et cetera, you know, all of that feeds into this rhetoric as well and doesn't help either side, you know, moving forward. I mean, we're talking about one of the biggest democracies in the world, and here we have two gentlemen, elderly gentlemen, one who's forgetting his lines, the other who we'd rather forget some of his lines, and they are now vying for the Oval Office in America. And I mean, out of a large population that they cannot find, the Americans cannot find two better candidates than they have at the present moment is beyond me.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting. I think the world, whether you're celebrating or it horrifies you, needs to be preparing for another term of Donald Trump as president, because I can't see any way. Firstly, we know he can't say anything that can derail him. That's just simply the only way he could actually derail his own campaign if he actually is affected by this and becomes, you know, very nice, if you know what I mean. That just wouldn't play very well to his base. Christy, thank you very much for
You're welcome.
I appreciate your input. Take care of yourself. That's former Sergeant Christy Gallagher there. A caller says the would-be assassin could legally buy a firearm but couldn't legally buy alcohol. It says an awful lot about America. James is watching on Facebook and says, I live near this area. I've been there many times. Now the world knows the area and not for a good reason. I'm not a Trump fan at all, but the Secret Service screwed up. Thanks for that, James. It's amazing when they say democracy hangs in the balance when the only thing threatening it is a democratic vote. Another, it's amazing how intolerant the so-called liberal far left are. They've been demonising him with their rhetoric for months. The Democrats and Biden recently talked about keeping the bullseye on Trump. And I've referenced that a couple of times as that text was coming in there. Last one, just before break. I have a question for the Committee of Festivals. Is it legal to charge the public €15 to stand in the main street when the festival is even to walk over to the public toilets? They charge also. I'd like this aired if possible. Talked about a specific... there are festivals that close main streets. Donegal Town, for an example. Also, Ramelton. You know, where big people might say, well, this is our main street, this is my main street for the rest of the year. Why am I being charged to walk around on it? So I can understand why people might be peed off with that. I believe there must be some sort of bylaws introduced to allow that to happen, but we'll have to see. Any views on that? 086 60 25,000. Right, we're going to talk about Donegal v Galway after this quick break. Okay, let's talk about the big game yesterday. That was Donegal v Galway. Paul joins us now. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Greg.
What a journey it's been. Fantastic stuff altogether.
Even you said that there, hey, last year, I would have had it high up, like, you know,
yeah.
And said you were mad, like. But, some game yesterday, hey.
It was unbelievable, wasn't
better
it?
In my opinion, better team in the first half, but, you know, it was all level the first half, like, you know, but... Hey, they pulled away. They just, I don't know, they just seemed to run out of steam or something at the end, like, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to put a finger on it. And it just seems almost to a little bit like Galway would not be denied on the day. I mean, there was, you know, a couple of shots that fell short. You can talk about the goal early on, but I think Donegal rallied and kind of eliminated the advantage Galway had through that goal. It just was not meant to be, I think. But it was, I feel really sorry. The players.
Yes, that's it, like, you know. But even the turnovers yesterday, they were cheered on by the Galway supporters as if they were points or even goals, like, you know, even the turnovers. And it was, hey, the atmosphere within Croke Park yesterday was electric, you know.
Yeah.
But, hey, as I was saying, like, we got so far. It was disappointing. It was my birthday yesterday. It was disappointing. And, you know, it was a good day out, like, you know. But... As I said, like, we're Division 2 champions, back in Division 1. We're Ulster champions.
Yep.
And we're looking forward now to 2025, you know.
I'm looking forward to it. Indeed. And happy birthday. What a way to spend your birthday. You were down at the game.
I was down at the game. She got me a ticket. She gave it to me yesterday morning.
Oh.
I was thinking I was going to watch it on the TV, but I says, go on now. Go on to the petrol station now and fill your car up with diesel.
Okay.
And I says, we're heading for Dublin. So that's how she sprung me.
Nice one. Excellent stuff. And you know what? Obviously, the initial reaction is disappointment because, you know, we got so far. But that disappointment, as we've already been talking about, Paul, very quickly sort of phased to, you know, reflecting on some fantastic days we had that we had no right really to expect. A day before Jim McGuinness took over. I mean, the fact that he was able, with basically the same squad, to give us this journey, as you say, Division 2 champions, Ulster champions, a semi-final in Croke Park, some cracking games. In fact, bar the Cork game, you know, that was the first real defeat of the season, so to speak. The second defeat, I suppose. We can't discount the Cork one. But, I mean, as I say, what an amazing year.
Absolutely, Greg. From the two matches done at Celtic Park, remember as well, they started the championship and the games throughout the league, well, come back into the league as well. Like, you know, there were some cracking games in that too, like, you know.
What do you think of the format? What do you think of the championship format? There's talk of it changing now. I mean, obviously, look, there's an awful lot of games that don't really mean a lot. In other words, you know, I think there's something like 20 plus games to eliminate four teams. But I enjoyed it. There was a couple of weekends of just, you know, four amazing games. What do you think of the format? Would you like to see it changed? Leave it the way it is?
I would actually leave it the way it is at the moment because it was bringing counties into it that had no basically chance of progressing.
Yeah,
they were basically still on it. But now the Tailteann Cup it was a bit of a shock to see counties that were. Well, I thought we're on the verge of all Ireland status dropping down to second level, you know.
Yeah, I get you.
So
I'd like to see another year of it.
I think that might be definitely another year of it, absolutely.
Mm.
But then it would have to be looked at, you know.
Yeah, okay. Brilliant stuff. Well, happy birthday to you. Belated happy birthday. It wasn't the final icing on the cake that you wanted, but a great day out and fair play to your other half.
The icing on the cake was Spain.
I feel bad getting so much pleasure out of it, but it's just...
don't we all?
Yeah, I know, but it's just the way that even listening to the English commentary, that it's euphoria. Yep. And then it is just absolute devastation and then euphoria and it's coming home and a nation holds its breath and It's just too easy. It's just too easy to get pleasure out of it.
That's just too, very true, Greg. Very true.
It really is. Okay. All right, then. Listen, Paul.
Thanks very much for your birthday, was it?
Happy birthday again. And what a lovely gift.
Thank you very much.
Good man. Take care of yourself. That's Paul. Great, unexpected journey in 24. Keep your calls coming in on that, of course. 086 60 25,000. Well done to Jim and all the boys. A great year and all their hard work. Amazing. I mean, what those fellas would have had to have done to get themselves to that level of fitness for such a long campaign. The commitment from them is just absolutely unbelievable. And they do it all for us as well. I mean, obviously, there's a personal motivation, but they do it for us. And it really is an amazing sacrifice from, you know, fellas that are going, hopefully they won't have to go to work today, but you know what I mean? They are amateur sports people and have jobs and families to hold down and all the normal stuff we all have to deal with. The team, and Jim says, a listener, has given the county everything this year. Promoted, won the league, won Ulster, into the All-Ireland semi-final. What other county can say that? Last year, we couldn't sell a ticket for a game. Look how far they've come and what the belief they have given our county again. They need our support, not our analysis. Now, there's a couple of people talking about negativity towards the team. I haven't come across it at all, to be honest with you. Anyone or any commentary I've read, it's been about, you know, what an amazing year, what an amazing achievement. But I'm going to read this next message here because it seems to be another person that's talking of criticism of the team or the management. As I say, I've not really heard it at all, if I'm going to be completely honest. I'll get to that because we are going to move on to another topic now. And the refusal of the Eucharist to a public representative in the Diocese of Cloyne is unambiguously condemned by the Association of Catholic Priests. The leadership team of the Association of Catholic Priests includes Father Tim Hazelwood, who joins us now.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning to you, Father. Just for listeners tuning in, Minister of State and Fine Gael TD Colin Burke was refused Holy Communion by a priest at the funeral mass of a constituent in County Cork because of his support of repealing the Eighth Amendment. Why are you upset at this decision by this priest?
Well, it's the actions of the priest in denying somebody who presented before him to receive the sacrament. That's, we don't think it's the proper behaviour. Mm. And more especially in the pastoral circumstances, this was a funeral mass where you had a family grieving, and we feel the focus of attention should have been on that. And that there are other ways, we all have our views on different issues, and it's a very important issue, on being pro-life, but denying the Eucharist isn't something that we think is the way of putting your point across. You know, he could have met him, dialogued with him, engaged with him, debated with him, whatever, but not there in front of a grieving family. Mm. It's not...
Now, the priest, Father, the priest will get some support from people who are, you know, they look at the figures that are released now showing the amount of abortions that are legally taking place in this country now. And of course, you know, our legislators, it can't happen without their voting in a certain direction. But in your press release, you talk of conscience. And I think that's quite an interesting point and maybe brings us back as to, you know, how religion works and what have you. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, the job of being a politician is not easy because there are so many strands that they have to take into account. We're a pluralist society now with people from all over the world, different faiths, of no faith. So for us as Catholics to expect our politicians to act the way we want to, I don't think it's very realistic. Mm. We have to... And we believe that in good conscience, our politicians try to govern as best they can. And he was a man who, I don't know him, but he attends church, from what I've read, and he has never been refused before. How can we, as a priest, standing before someone, know the conscience of that person and decide there and then you're not to receive? Like it gives the impression that the Eucharist is a sort of a prize that we win if we are good. Mm. That's a false understanding of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is to help us on our journey. It's to nourish us, encourage us, help us. So us acting as judge and jury for people. Now, and another worrying, and I suppose I connect it to what's happening in the United States, this type of thing has happened in the United States where people are being denied the Eucharist. And we see how polarized a society that has become, culminating in that assassination attempt at the weekend. Pope Francis is trying to put forward a vision where we engage with the world. He has said himself he has never refused Holy Communion to anybody. And that's not the kind of church that we in the Association of Catholic Priests put forward. Mm-hmm. It's an engaging, it's open, it dialogues, it tries to understand that type of church.
Father,
sorry,
Tim,
for the sermon.
We invited you on, Father, off the back of the off the back of the statement issued, so we appreciate your time. Father Tim Hazelwood, have a lovely day. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank
all right,
you.
Bye-bye. Take care of yourself. 0860 25000. A caller says someone should tell that priest that the law of the land takes precedence over church law. It's no wonder attendance at Mass is dropping dramatically. And we've more of those coming in, by the way, so I'll get to them after 10. All messages received will be read out a little later.